You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to share with you this morning. I know we have multiple students who are back from colleges and universities, so I just want to be the first one to say welcome back. We're glad to have you here this week, and I'm sure your families are glad to have you back as well. Also, as I was preparing to speak this morning, I got an email that basically said, hey, here's the preaching schedule, and on this morning it said, Thanksgiving message. And the minute I read that, one word popped into my heart and mind, and it was the word gratitude. And I don't know why, the Holy Spirit just brought it into my heart and mind. And this morning, we're going to take a look at this concept of gratitude. Now, in full disclosure, just as I get ready to share, I want you to know that most of these concepts that I am sharing with you this morning are 1 week old. Okay, in my own heart and life, I thought I knew what the word gratitude meant. I thought it was just a synonym of thanksgiving. And this week, man, I tell you, just a lot of things have just really come open to my mind. So I'm going to just start this way and ask if you kind of agree with some of these statements I hear all the time. And here's one of the statements I hear all the time. Most students and people these days aren't grateful for all that they have. Matter of fact, Jerry mentioned it. They really have no idea how good they have it. How many of you have heard that statement before? Okay, yeah. All right, here, second one. About the only thing my kids are grateful for is when I leave them alone and let them spend time on their phone and technology. How many of you would agree with that? Okay, a few more, a couple chuckles. How about this one? In fact, Pastor Jonathan, it's hard to be grateful for our country, for how many things are going on in our country and world right now. In fact, I'm sort of frustrated with all that's happening in the world these days, especially in America. It's hard to be grateful. How many of you agree? Yeah. Now, let me take it one step further. I believe that there are all kinds of reasons why there's a lack of gratitude in our culture, but let me ask it this way. How many parents out there would appreciate a little more gratitude from your kids for all the hard work you do for them? Hey, I even got an amen out of that one. All right. How about grandparents? Grandparents, how many of you would like a little more gratitude out of your 40-year-old kids and your 15-year-old grandkids? I heard a few more chuckles and a couple amens. Now, let me ask a deeper question, and this is very pivotal for us this morning. When I ask that question, are you saying that you just want them to thank you more, or are you saying it would be great if they expressed in action a little more gratitude by doing a little something? Yeah, I heard both. Amen on that. Over the last week, I learned and discovered for me personally, and I'm going to share with you, the difference between thankfulness and gratitude. We are thankful that our son or daughter says thanks, and what they're doing is they're appreciating things that they have been given, but gratitude is different. Gratitude is helping and seeing what someone else has done and reciprocating in return in the same effort without expectation or obligation. Let me start off this way and ask if this illustration resonates with you. How many of you have stumbled across a random act of kindness that just blew you away? Oh yeah, look at all the hands all over. Did you know that YouTube has multiple channels dedicated to random acts of kindness? Did you know there's a foundation called Random Acts of Kindness? There's multiple websites, tons and tons of ideas. In fact, you can download a random act of kindness, a gratitude map that gives you suggestions for every day of the year. Incredible, I know. And then even this week, I walk into my daughter's bedroom and I say, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "I'm watching Random Acts of Kindness." And I quote, "It kind of just lifts me up." One writer even said, kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. So one day, I was in the Dunkin' Donuts drive-through line, and I got to the drive-through counter, and my drink and coffee cake muffin was paid for. It was unearned, unmerited, and I was blown away. To take the free act and drive away happy and appreciative is to be thankful. To drive away and then later that day do the same thing to someone else is gratitude, an act of grace or kindness to someone else that is undeserved and free. Let me ask the second question. How many of you have gone to a restaurant and wondered whether or not you were going to tip the server? I have. Regardless of the service, you can leave the restaurant and not leave a tip and still be thankful for their service. But you cannot leave the restaurant with no tip and still be grateful. To be grateful or to express gratitude, you give something tangible, something in action. You see, this week I learned something new about gratitude. I learned it's all over the Bible and that I didn't really know what it meant. I just had a running idea on the ground of what I thought it meant. So today I'm going to ask you, if at all possible, to set aside all previous notions of what the word gratitude means. Let's explore the scripture a little and then see if we can arrive first on a biblical definition, two, see how it's used in scripture, and then ask ourselves together corporately, what do we do with what we've learned about this term gratitude? Let's start in the first one, first point, what is a biblical definition of gratitude? Now, if you were to go to Webster's Dictionary or Google it right now on your phone, you would find it says noun, appreciation of kindness, thankfulness. However, I have found that that definition is woefully incompetent of what the word really means in its two roots from the Latin and from the Greek. So let's just explore for a second from the Latin. The word gratitude comes from the root word gratis. Gratis is described as an adverb, an adjective. It means free of charge, an act of kindness. From gratia, meaning grace and kindness. Another root derivative is gratuitous. It's an adjective. It means given, unearned, or without recompense. Free of charge, given freely. Spontaneous, not involving a return benefit. It has a third word as its root, and that's gratuity. It's a noun. It's a gift given to a waiter or a gratuitous gift that was not earned. You get the idea in the Latin. In the Greek, there are three words that are used frequently in the New Testament, and those three words are exocharis. That means have grace or having grace. It means kindness unmerited. Many of you remember the verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for kindness unmerited are you saved. That's the word grace there. There's another word, one more prominent. It's the word charity. If I say that, most of you are familiar with it and you recognize it. Charity is an expression of kindness or tangible love. It's a highest form of unselfish love. That is the key translation of the word gratitude in the New Testament. And then there's a third one. It's the word eucharista. Eucharista is the word we get for the Lord's Supper or Eucharist. You are familiar with it. It means giving thanks in light of the gift that was given to us. It's an expression back. It's not just thanks. It's giving back thanks. So I came up with a biblical definition that I'm going to use. You're not going to find it in any handbook of Christian theology. It's my compilation of all of these together. And here's what I came up with. This biblical definition of gratitude, at least for me, was a spontaneous giving away grace and kindness in action, voluntary and beyond obligation because of what someone else has given to me. The core words that we find used to express this thought are grace, thankfulness, kindness, gift, expression, action, and giving. Now, the real question our church family should have this morning, and I had early this week, was how is this term used in the scripture? Can you prove that this word gratitude is actually an action instead of just an acknowledgement of something that was given? And I have a resounding absolutely. Let's take this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 30 and 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 30 and 31. We're going to have three movements this morning, three passages we're going to go to, and all of them are an attempt to help us understand these Greek root word uses, and then the third passage is to help us understand how it was lived out in active everyday life. Now, this first one is a very unique passage. Almost all of you would recognize verse 31. Verse 31 says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's one we quote all of the time. Very seldom have I ever heard anyone go, no, the real power is found in verse 30. I'd like to read it to you now. Verse 30 says, if I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? I want you to know that there are two Greek words being used to express the same word in the NIV. The two Greek words are Eucharisto and charity. I want you to know that the first time the word thankfulness is used is actually the word charity. It would better be translated the word gratitude. And the second time it's used in verse 30 is the word thankfulness and Eucharisto, and that's giving thanks. Now you say to me, Pastor Jonathan, I'm already lost. Why are you talking about this? What does this have to do with anything? I'm going to explain it. It'll make an incredible aha moment sense in just a second. What's happening in this passage is Paul is talking to believers about meals that have been brought to their home, or they're going to the home of somebody hosting them that has been offered to idols or sacrifices. And in this context, Paul is saying, if you know what meals are offered to you that have been offered to idols, it would be best not to partake so you can keep a clear conscience. If you are offered something and they don't mention anything about it and you're not really sure, you can partake with a clear conscience because you don't really know. You're still sitting there going, why are you talking to us about this? Here's why. Have you ever gone over to a person's house and taken a housewarming gift to their house in advance of your time going? All the women are like, yeah. And all the guys are like, we did what? Yeah, we to this day still take sometimes a housewarming gift. What is that housewarming gift for? That gift is an expression of appreciation in advance for the meal and hospitality you are about to receive. In this text, what's happening in verse 30 is Paul is saying, I want all of you to know you can receive the food that you've got with gratuity, an expression of appreciation with them freely. Because if you do not know what you were fed, you can offer up genuine and sincere gratitude to them as a host. And why would you be criticized for giving thanks to them? Does the verse make sense now? I want you to know the primary difference in the New Testament of the word gratitude and thanksgiving or thanks is gratitude has an outward flowing expression in action. Thankfulness has an understanding and appreciation for what is given, but it doesn't have to reciprocate with an action. That's what this text very clearly communicates, because if you'll notice how it ends after verse 30, it says, well, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all to the glory of God. Why is he saying that? Because as you live out your life in action with non-believers, it's appropriate to express gratitude to them physically and tangibly. That's movement number one. Let's go to the second passage, and that's Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 17. 15 through 17. And again, I'm warning you, in this text, the same thing happens. The word Eucharisto is used to translate thankfulness or thanks. And rightly so, the word charity in this passage is actually translated gratitude, which should be done rightfully so. And they bookend one another. So let's read it, and then I'll explain the text for you, and it'll make more sense in just a second. So let's read Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to be thankful. Let the word of Christ, and that's the word Eucharisto, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude, charity, in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks, Eucharisto, to God the Father through him. Now you're like, what is going on here? Listen to the context and I'll explain it again. Paul is talking about how he wants followers of Jesus to live. In verse 14, he starts it with saying, all of these virtues put on love. So that's an action, put on love. Then the key to that love in action is two vehicles in this text, thanksgiving and gratitude. The two key actions are thanksgiving and gratitude. He says twice, to be thankful, remember what you have been given in Christ. And then as Christ dwells in you, watch, you teach, you give wisdom, you sing songs, you sing hymns, you sing spiritual songs, and you do it with gratitude, charity, love, and kindness. And again, gratitude is connecting all the action of worship back to how you're living. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So you're like, I'm still confused. What's going on? Let me explain one other way. Let's note what it is not saying. It is not saying that gratitude is only expressed in the heart, because in the context, all the expressions listed were actions coming out of the heart. And again, teaching, giving wisdom, singing all kinds of songs. It's also, oh, and by the way, I would mention, sometimes we don't necessarily like to sing in the service, or sometimes we don't like to necessarily express an audible word in some form of teaching or wisdom. It might be because we have a gratitude problem. It also is not saying that the key to gratitude and thankfulness comes from yourself. Like, you just can't try harder and be more grateful. It also is not saying that whatever you do in life, be grateful and thankful in yourself that you attained it. And this is from the works of your own hands. By the way, how many of you watch NFL football? Okay. And how many of you remember a couple years ago, I think it was the Patriots versus the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And I think it was Malcolm Butler caught that interception. And then after the game was over, did you know what he did? A lot of players were like, I want to just give thanks to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for his ability. You know what Malcolm Butler did? He says, I just want to give thanks to my hands. That's not what we're talking about in this text. Can I just get an amen on that? So what is the text saying? Gratitude is expressed in action, and it's done in teaching, giving wisdom, psalms, singing. I mentioned that. And by the way, these things flow out of the gratitude that was in the heart. They burst forth spontaneously. They come forth from what is in. By the way, if you're a parent, it happens frequently in your home when your son or daughter does something that you didn't tell them to do, that you've always wanted them to do, and you are amazed by it. Like pick up their room without you saying it. And all of a sudden you spring, it just bursts forth. Oh my goodness, that's so wonderful. Thank you. Right? You express, wow, my son gave me this gift of actually being responsible for something that was his. It was amazing. Also, gratitude comes from who you are in Christ. Two phrases, let the peace of Christ and let the word of Christ give us the keys to gratitude and thanksgiving in this text. As we look back on what Christ has provided for the follower of Jesus, inner peace, and what Christ has given us, his word, we become both thankful for what we have been given, and we want to do all things gratefully in our life, giving back to him for the glory of God. Does that passage make more sense? Now let's go to our third one this morning, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Luke 7. Just to review, I was blown away this last week by understanding that gratitude was not just an attitude, but that it is an action that comes from out within us and it comes into being in action or activity. Let's notice, if you would, Luke 7, 36 through 50. This is an example in the scriptures of gratitude in overwhelming supply. An illustration so clear, not a single one of us will miss it. And Jesus is the one who gave it. It says, a great physical example of gratitude in the Bible is found in the story of the woman who washed Jesus' feet. And by the way, Jesus recounts the story to Simon. We're going to pick up to that. The story is repeated twice. It starts in verse 36. It goes all the way to 50. I'm just reading for you Jesus' recount of that story. And Jesus says, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Jesus said to the woman, your faith in advance has saved you. Go in peace. Now, I just want to review a little bit of the context for you so you can understand what's going on. This woman was so filled with thankfulness for the forgiveness of her sins and the goodness of God in Jesus that she couldn't keep herself from spilling gratitude all over Jesus. Just think about it. She literally bought a fragrance of alabaster jar of perfume in advance, planning an action of gratitude that was beautifully smelling in contrast to what even she understood she once was. She wet his feet with her tears. Her soul cried out in gratitude so much that she expressed herself in tears. That's how deeply grateful she was. She wiped his feet with her hair. Her body was crying out in gratitude. She kissed his feet and then poured perfume on them, the lowest part of his body, not his head, but his feet, because she didn't even feel worthy to do anything above that. Others around were so repulsed by this scandalous outpouring of kindness, love, and gratuity from this woman that they insinuated, read the text, are you going to receive a gift from this wretched thing? Now just think about that for a second. Man, I'm telling you, the word of God comes alive in color when we just stop for a few moments and think about it. Here's a woman gushing gratitude on the feet of someone who gave her forgiveness of the sin and shame that she had in everyday life. And the pious, righteous people over here staring at this gratitude, feeling as if, are you actually going to accept that gift? Incredible. And then Jesus tells a story right before he explained to Peter what happened. Notice verse 41. In verse 41, actually verse 40, Jesus answered him, Simon, I've got something to tell you. Because he knew what these guys were thinking over here. That he knew they were saying, this is scandalous. What? Does he understand who's receiving this gifts of gratitude? Does he really get it? Jesus tells a story to Peter. He says, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? And Simon replied, well, he wasn't convinced. He just says, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And Jesus responded, paraphrase, she is doing all of these things to me in gratitude because of her deep love of me and how much I have forgiven her. She understands it, she receives it, she gets it, and all she wants to do with her life is pour out gratitude to the one that offered her things she never deserved in the first place. Friends, that is what Christianity is. And here's what this means for us. In the story of the debtors, which one are you? Are you the one this morning that views yourself in light of everybody else and like, I don't sin as much as they do, and so I'm the small debt, you know, in the story? Or are you the one that is like my wife and realizes I'm the bigger sinner of the family? Can I get an amen? And like, I need a lot of sin forgiven, and you know what I'm talking about. You are like, no, I'm the one that's been forgiven a lot as well. How can we as followers of Jesus just be thankful in light of all of the debt that we have been forgiven? We cannot just offer lip service of gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done on the cross. We can't just offer lip service of gratitude for the amount of debt that we've been forgiven. And we can't just offer lip service in our life, just coming and saying thank you. What do we do as a result of everything that's been given us? We express it in our physical activity. We go out and live it in action. That is what followers of Jesus do. And that is what I was fuzzy about at the beginning of this week, sad to say. So I have a question for you this morning. What does it mean for you and I going forward? You know what I didn't do when I went to the Dunkin' Donuts counter and the teller said that it was paid for? I didn't go, nah, I don't want the gift. Nah, I'm gonna pay for it anyway. Just give it to somebody behind me. No. I said, wow, incredible. Sure, thank you. And it felt incredible. Have you ever had a coffee cake muffin from Dunkin' Donuts? There are some of you here this morning that need to receive the gift of family this week. Your past bitterness from a relational issue or something that's going on over the years keeps you from feeling the joy of being together. And I'm going to suggest this week, it's time to let it go. Have gratitude for the family that the Lord has given you. Release that bitterness that is in your heart and let your attitude be reflected in giving back to your family this week. There are some of you here this morning that need to receive the gift of eternal life. Your sin has kept you from receiving Jesus, and you've tried to figure it out on your own, but I recommend to you this morning, it is time to let go. There are some of you here this morning that need to stop just saying thanks to God for what he's done for you, and you need to start living out in gratitude in action, whether it's by starting to serve at the church, whether it's by doing a random act of kindness this week, whether it's by doing more for your family to help out around the house. I don't know exactly what it is, but we need to stop just giving lip service to what Jesus has done and start giving action to what he has done for us on behalf. And I recommend for you this morning that since gratitude is more than an attitude, let's commit this week to live out that gratitude to God. And here are a couple simple ways I recommend. Students, appreciate your parents and what they do for you by helping out, maybe even this Thursday, with food prep and cleanup without being asked. Can I get just maybe a slight amen for that? Look, I got parents clapping. All right. Number two, do a random act of kindness this week. Pay it forward in some way. I took the opportunity to do this morning. I was a little convicted, and so I went out and I got gift cards and I put them in some pews in front of you. Don't worry if I haven't talked to you, they're not in your pew, so don't go looking. Okay? But I've randomly put gift cards in the little holders to my favorite place again, Dunkin' Donuts, where you can get coffee cake muffins. Okay? And I'd like you to take this week and you can either give it out and pay it forward, or you can use it as a gift from our family to yours. This is what I'm talking about. And then finally, I would like to encourage you, if you get the chance, horror of all horrors, on Thursday, can I suggest that you stay off your phone at least part of the day to communicate physically to everyone in your home that that day is not just about you, but it's about them being with you and you're grateful to spend presence with them on that day. With that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've taught us today, this morning, and I pray for all that is going to happen this week. May we have not just an attitude of gratitude, but may an attitude of action follow what's coming out of our heart. And we give you all honor and glory this morning.